Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Congratulations to Bo Nickel, Hodge Trophy winner. Fifth in the last 8 years for a Nittany Lion. Bo Nickel advances the sport because he's dynamic and he gets the casual fan excited. And also, I hope they can fill Soika tonight for Allie Raisman. Not only a great champion, but a very important story to tell, and the strength of Allie Raisman as to what she went through with Larry Nassar. And she's able to stand up and talk about it, hang on every word she says tonight. And hopefully the place will be sold out. She deserves that. In a moment, Dick Girardi will talk about the Final Four. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. Chris Davis goes wild for the A's.
Hembree working from the stretch and delivers. Here's the pitch and swing and a fly ball. Left center, well hit. Bradley back to the track. He will turn and watch it fly. And that's four for the A's tonight. Do you believe this? 5-0 in favor of the A's.
Yes, the world champions are cooking so far at 1-4.
Not the real reason why I played that. I figured, hey, who knows? There may not be another chance again this season where Oakland could get four different guys with homers in one game.
You know what? You know, Oakland has that kind of power. They can do that.
Yeah, did last year, too.
Dan and I had tickets to see the Red Sox Astros on May 19th. My hope is the Red Sox are still in the race. All right, so I think they'll turn it around, but still. Not off to the best of starts. That's why, you know, obviously what they're five games down, 157 to go. All right, so I got it. But you know what? How often have you heard me say on the show that when you have the opportunity to, quote, go for it, go for it? I always feel like everybody who's always playing for the future and they're trying to protect the future all the time, that tells me they have no present. I always feel like when you have a chance to go for it, go for it. Because guess what? The opportunity to win the whole thing is rare. It is rare. What Boston did last year, where they were the dominant team from the second... I mean, remember, their spring training record last year was incredible, which means nothing. But then they kept on going into the regular season. And, you know, the old saying, you win 54, you lose 54. It's what you do in the other 54. They were 54-0 in those games. They only lost 54 the whole year. Yeah, it's a different year, a different time. Everybody's a little bit older. And they are now the 2019 Red Sox are a record-tying team. Their pitching staff has given up have tied the record for the most home runs given up by a staff through five games. Not exactly the record they were looking for. All right. Let's bring in Dick Girardi, my broadcast partner, more than 15 years now on the Penn State Sports Network. DJ, great to have you back.
Steve, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. I know a lot of people want to make a commentary on the one and done. I've always felt, and I want to get your feel about this. One thing that makes college sports interesting, whether it's football, you know, with the different styles or basketball, I think they're all different ways of building teams, and it just has to fit the model that you have. That's how I've felt. How do you look at it?
Yeah, look, there are a million ways to do it. There's no right or wrong way. I mean, just this year just happens to be a year where the two teams with all the freshmen just missed getting there, Kentucky and Duke.
Right.
One loses in overtime, the other loses by a point, so it's not like they're doing it the wrong way. They were that close to getting to the Final Four. It's interesting. I think, Steve, since this they no longer let high school players go directly to the NBA, which I think the last year was 2004.
Four, yeah.
So we're talking about 15 years now. I think two freshman teams have won it, the Kentucky team with Anthony Davis and then the Duke team 4 years ago. But really, they're the only teams that do that anyway, aren't they?
Exactly. Those are really the only predominant one-and-dones. There are teams like, let's take Alabama, who rode a one-and-done guy into the tournament last year in Colin Sexton.
But it's
one guy.
Yeah, these are the two. And, I mean, let's see, Duke, since I guess they've won two titles, but the 2010 team wasn't really a freshman team. Right. And since Cal has been in Kentucky for 10 years, I mean, they've been in the Final Four a number of times. I don't know what it says or doesn't say, but there's, as you said, there's just a lot of different ways to do it. And the teams this year just happen to have done it with more older guys.
Obviously, you and I took a long, hard look at Michigan State, and we saw them right about the point where Aaron Henry was put in the starting lineup. Arnes was out, and Langford was out. Now, Arnes then eventually came back and then was out again. But when we saw them that day, what did you think of them, and what do you think of them now?
They're better. They're a lot better than when we saw them back in January. And, you know, all of their players, up to and including their younger guys, are just so much better than they were 3 months ago. And I always liked the point guard, if I could actually get his name right, Cassius Winston. I kept saying it wrong, I think, on one of the broadcasts, but that's all right. I love him, Steve. He's just a classic college player. I don't know what his NBA future is or is not, and don't really care, because you just love how he controls the whole game. And I think Krzyzewski said he was the best guard they played against all year after they knocked him out in Washington on Sunday. And it's just fun to watch him. And they don't have a single superstar. I mean, they had two lottery picks last year and got knocked out in round two.
Right.
So a lot of times it just depends on the mix of players and how they fit together. And that team's just gotten better and better and better. And I guess what it finally dawned on me was when they did the same thing to Michigan three times in a row.
Yes.
Were down a significant number, came back at Michigan State, and then in Chicago to win the tournament. I said, man, they're even better than I thought. Did I think they were going to beat Duke? I wouldn't have thought that prior to the tournament starting, but once the tournament was underway and you saw how vulnerable Duke was and how fortunate they were to win the second and third games, I thought they had every chance to win. But then, of course, it came down to one final play.
One final play, which I want to ask you about. We talked about veterans and one-and-dones. What does a veteran point guard mean? You can surround it with talent, but what does a veteran point guard mean when you're moving through?
When all these games are going to be within a couple of points at the end, it's everything to me. It's just, I mean, you saw the difference Sunday. Kentucky was out there playing with young guys, and that was a big difference because they're better younger players or their front court players, where Michigan State's best player is their third-year point guard. So, yeah, I think it does matter. But it depends on who he is. You can have a veteran point guard. If he ain't good, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. Look, is it amazing what talent means?
We've talked about many times, experience is nice, but I would much prefer talent over experience. Now, if it's close, you'd rather have experienced talent, but if it's not, then just give me the better players.
Virginia plays the pack line defense, and they certainly have their fair share of veterans as well. What do you think about Tony Bennett's style?
Yeah, it's grown on me this year because they have more offense than they've had in the past.
Yes.
As they proved on Saturday night, that's not a game any Virginia team prior to this one would have had any chance of winning. Because when Edwards goes berserk like that, they would have been overwhelmed because they just wouldn't have been able to score enough. But they did a great job of understanding which Purdue players to attack on defense in the second half. And I just think they now have a chance because they can score enough. They won so many games by big numbers this year. I actually saw a thing. I didn't really look at this during the year, but I think they covered the spread like 67% of the time.
Wow.
Which is amazing when you consider how often they were favored, probably just about every game. So they weren't just winning, they were hammering people. And that's because their offense has gotten better. So, yeah, I think the defense has always been there. Might not have seemed like it Saturday night, but, yeah, now they can score in the 70s if they have to win, and they just couldn't have done that before.
Well, exactly. I mean, let's face it, even last year, I'm not so sure they could get into a shootout like they were involved in the other night and survived it.
Couldn't do it. Yep, could not do it. No, couldn't agree more.
And you and I have seen the Carson Edwards act before.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, we've seen it, but, I mean, he did it to Villanova, and then he did it again. I mean, it was unreal, and he didn't have any help Saturday night, and he still almost won the game.
Right. It was
just an amazing show, and I got to think we've seen him in a Purdue uniform for the last time. I know he tested last year and stayed out of the draft, but yeah, I don't know how his value can be any higher than it is at this moment. I don't know where he'll get drafted, but he can't play any better than he did.
No, he can't. And then there's Ryan Klein. And again, this is the part of where the advantage of doing games, for example, as opposed to, because we have to look at different things. You and I both know that Klein is an awesome three-point shooter, but he's also not the greatest free-throw shooter in the country, and he missed that tough one at the end.
Yeah, it was interesting. I'm sure everybody that had been watching him over the regional weekend when he lit up Tennessee and then this game, think, well, there's no way he's going to miss. But, yeah, I knew because we'd watch him miss.
Yes.
In the game Penn State almost won the overtime game. So, yeah, that wasn't a total shock. He's like about 70% free throw line, and there's one-on-ones late in those games, and that, of course, if he makes that second shot, then all that stuff that happens at the end of regulation is irrelevant because they're up four instead of three.
It also brings up the interesting question about how to handle that. When we were leaving the Kohl Center, Greg Gard was in the hallway with Justin Doherty, and we walked up and you asked Greg Gard about fouling at the end of games. He's not for it because he says it brings a lot of, I can't remember the word, danger.
Brings losing in
the equation.
Yep.
Then there's the other part. It's the Marty, because you and I have seen it work before, for goodness sakes. How do you view fouling at the end of games when you're up three?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is who are you playing? Does it have any real good three-point shooters? Are they a real big team where they're more of a threat to get the offensive rebound? Once you've answered those questions, to me, I don't even think it's a close call. I think you got to foul. I respect Greg. He's a terrific coach, but he said they never foul at Wisconsin. And the reason I asked him that day is because it looked like they were trying to foul
right
at the end of the Penn State game.
Yeah, Pritzel. Yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
he actually committed a foul that just wasn't called. Steve, think about what had to go right for Virginia to win that game. They make the first. They missed the second, and apparently wasn't even trying to miss.
Right.
He just did. They tipped it into the backcourt. The freshman makes one of the smartest plays you'll ever see in your life. So it was like a 60-foot bullet, and the guy makes a jump shot at the buzzer. I mean, that's a lot of things have to go right just to tie the game.
Yeah.
To win the game in that circumstance, you have to make the first, miss the second, tip it out, and hit a three.
Right.
Am I doing my math right?
Yeah, that's right.
I just think that's not very likely.
Yeah, neither do I. Yeah, no, I think that if you have to list the number of things that have to go right, it's a long list.
Yeah.
And just because Virginia checked all the boxes and did it at the wire.
Right, and the other possibilities: you make the first, you miss the second,
right?
You put it up and in and get fouled. That's another way that you could get 4 points. But again, and then you got to make the free throw. A ton of things have to happen, or you can do what Penn State did a couple years ago against Purdue at home, up three. The guy misses the front end, grabs the rebound, dribbles out to the 3-point line, hits a three at the buzzer, and they win in overtime.
But right. Yeah, exactly.
That's doing everything right and like, what? Did that just happen?
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I am definitely in favor of fouling. Unless there's some unusual circumstance with the other team, rebounding and or 3-point shooting.
And you do have to admit, in
broadcasting Penn State basketball, you actually have now seen more situations than you ever dreamed you'd
in your career at that point. I saw things in a month period this year, a half a dozen things that I'd never seen before, to the point where I was looking at it and I go, I don't really know what that is, but I'm supposed to act like I know something. So I kept talking, but I'm not sure I knew what I was talking about.
Oh, I made a whole career out of that. All right, so Ken Pom has Virginia plus six over Auburn. He puts it in at 70-64, and he has Michigan State a 1-point 67-66 over Texas Tech. So how do you view the two games?
I'm having trouble seeing either of these games, frankly, because the way these teams play is so different. The one game nobody wants to see on Monday night is Virginia Texas Tech.
Absolutely.
No offense to either, but they're probably the first and second best defensive teams in the country, and I mean 50-48. Nobody wants to see that.
No.
So if you're asking me who I like, I managed to pick an entire bracket and use three number one seeds for the Final Four, and the fourth one got there. So I've got nothing right. So I don't know what my opinion is worth at this point.
Actually, I've got one Final Four team, and it's Texas Tech.
Well, that's
all I got.
That is very impressive. Look, they had a reason to get there. They were in the eights last year, lost to Villanova, a team nobody was going to beat. So, I mean, they played great last year. This is a really hard to see these games. I think Michigan State is playing at the highest level they played at. And I love the fact that no matter what happened Sunday, where the score was, whatever, they just played the next play. It was great. It was great to watch. But, I mean, Auburn's really, really good.
Yeah.
Sheesh. The whole crew is good.
Fast.
I would kind of lean to the favorites, Virginia and Michigan State. But do I have any high degree of confidence?
No,
I don't.
Neither do I. But I am with you. If Texas Tech plays Virginia in the championship game, it's not going to help the sport.
It's nothing against either, but it's just a style game. I mean, CBS is already not happy that, like, Duke and Kentucky and North Carolina are not happy. Whoever's doing, I don't even know who's doing the game Monday night. Whatever.
CBS is doing it.
Okay. Yeah, they're not happy with that, but they're really – that's going to be Connecticut Butler all over again.
Yeah.
In Houston, that was, like, the worst Final Four game I ever covered. It was, like, 53-41 or something. It was worse than that. Yeah. That was horrible. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
And one quick note, this will be the last one. You've covered a lot of games now in domes where the court is in the center. I don't know if there's an effect on it, but how have you felt from the first time you saw that to seeing it now? Because obviously to do it is the money grab. You and I both know it.
Yeah, it started in 2009, so this is the 11th year. It started at Ford Field in Detroit. Where they realized they could do this and sell more tickets to people, and I have no idea how any of these people can see anything from up at the top of these stadiums.
Right.
It felt like teams weren't shooting well in there until Villanova proved that not to be true in 16 and 18. Maybe it was just Villanova could make shots in there, but yeah, it's not a great place to play basketball. Basketball should be played in a gym, not a stadium, but it's just it ain't going to change.
No.
As long as they can sell the tickets, right? And they will sell them. I don't like it. It's kind of antiseptic, but got nothing to do with me liking it or not liking it. I don't think it's the game. Basketball is a game where people are supposed to be like really close, and they're not close. I mean, none of the fans are close at all.
Right.
Because even around the court is all the media people and the TV people and the radio people. And so, it's just very different, I would think. I haven't asked a lot of players about that, but I kind of think it's really different for them than what they're used to. I mean, imagine, say, if Purdue had made it. Talk about a difference, Mackey Arena versus versus whatever the name is, stadium is in Minneapolis.
Right. Yeah. It's the Bank of the Month Stadium. well, remember when we were talking to Pat about Ford Field because he was an assistant coach on that team.
Sure.
And the first thing they discovered was how long the distance was from the locker room to the court.
Oh, yeah.
And they needed to get an auxiliary spot to go to when you're done with the first warm-up and want to come out with the second warm-up, because they didn't want the guys, you know, jogging a half mile to get back and then jogging another half mile. And by the time you get there, you're exhausted.
Yeah, it's a real logistical craziness. And, I've covered 25 of them, so I've seen it evolve over time. I mean, I did the last one in an arena, which was 96 at the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
And I did one in Charlotte and some other places where it's actually small. But, yeah, I've done all the domes, too. I don't think I've missed the domes. In fact, some of the domes I did don't even exist anymore.
Right.
The King Dome, gone.
The King Dome.
The RCA Dome is gone. Yeah, I mean, I did a game in the Silver Dome. It wasn't the Final Four, but I did a game in there. That's gone.
Georgia Dome? Gone.
I did a game in the Georgia Dome. I did a couple. That's where Maryland won.
Yep.
That's where Louisville won in 13.
Yep.
Yeah, I did a bunch in the Georgia Dome. Gone. So, yeah, I mean, that's a sad commentary. We can't even, domes don't even last very long. They're all gone.
It's amazing how they build these places. This is the ninth wonder of the world since the Astrodome's the eighth. The ninth wonder of the world. And in a dozen years, we don't have enough luxury suites.
Exactly.
Implode it.
I know. Get it out of here. Got to go.
Dick, always great. Thanks so much.
You got it, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk Derby time coming up soon. How about
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you got four weeks.
Four See weeks, you, and then we'll talk about pa.
There you go. All right. See you,
buddy. Down in Louisville, it is not pie. It's pie. It's pie. All right? You got to remember that. You know, you're a big Derby guy.
Sure. Place your bets. Here we go.
In fact, over at the Suits household, they've asked where all the digital money has gone. And I mentioned
he approached the Lycoming Mall, but he did not go into the mall.
on the fourth race at Hialeah. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070. WKOK brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
The Phillies are on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Away it's belted. High and deep. Center field, forget about it. It is long gone.
Yeah, baby.
1-0 Philadelphia as Andrew McCutchen goes deep just to the left of the batter's eye in center.
Phillies baseball on WKOK is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, Turbinville National Bank, Whispering Oaks Vineyard, and WNL Subaru.
Your home for Phillies baseball is News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Another great article by Brendan Quinn on The Athletic. It is about Kenny Goins, who hit the game-winning three-point shot against Duke. I think over the last
few years. You've heard me mention on the basketball broadcast. I think I've only mentioned it a couple times on the show, at least in the recent run. I mentioned it, but you know, all 4 years you mentioned it on the basketball broadcast that Kenny Goins was a walk-on at Michigan State. He did not have any Power 5 offers. His offers coming out of high school were Buffalo, Detroit Mercy, Central Michigan, and Kenny Goins, a very smart guy. He also had offers if he wanted to go to Penn or Harvard. But his lifelong goal as a basketball player was to go to Michigan State. So his father told Brendan Quinn, quote, "I told him, dude, if that's where your heart is, then that's where you've got to go." All right. So he went to Michigan State, but he was a walk-on. So what does that mean, Sean? Well, that means they have to pay money. They ended up taking off a loan of $17,000 to get him through the first year. And it turned out then after the first year, and they didn't know this was going to happen, but after the first year, Tom Izzo put Kenny Goins on scholarship. And Tom Izzo says, look, he says, you know, he walked on, he says, because in our minds he wasn't quite good enough. And that happens. That's fine. That's an evaluation out of high school. But they took out a loan to do this. And they're still paying the loan off as a family. He's a two-sport guy, football. You know, I remember telling this story on the broadcast once about it, you know, that the fact that he was actually considered to be a pretty good football player. But the basketball scholarships weren't there, and he loved basketball, and he wanted to play for Michigan State. Now, Michigan also looked at him as a walk-on candidate, but he wanted to go to Michigan State, so he goes to Michigan State. And the recruitment was done by Jared Stevens' brother, Dwayne Stevens. He was the lead guy with him. So he goes to Michigan State, walks on. They take out the $17,000 loan. They are still paying off the $17,000 loan. The father says, quote, "As for the $17,000, he'll pay it off one of these days. It was worth it because every kid should be able to follow his heart. It's pretty amazing where you can take them." Says, you couldn't write a story like this. Now, in the midst of the story, they're also telling you, you know, the fact that time is over for advancing to the Final Four gets a $100,000 bonus, but Goins still has to pay off the loan. Well, there's another story inside this story here that's not really said. And by the way, Brendan Quinn, a brilliant, brilliant writer, finding a great story and then running with it. I think the last time I talked to Quinny was at the Big Ten tournament. So it was about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. But here's the other story. He's still paying off the $17,000 loan from his freshman year. What does that tell you about the value of a scholarship? We keep hearing all the time about how people need to be paid, they need to get money, they're making all this money off their backs. And as I've said before, and I'll keep saying it, if football and basketball were the only two considerations, you would find me being on the side of, okay, you know what? I'm looking at 107,000 people in this stadium. I'm looking at 22,000 in the United Center in Chicago. I'm looking at all that and I'm saying, you know what? Look at all the money that's being made here. And I'd be one of those people that would be agreeing with the idea that some nominal fee of some sort should go to college athletes in conjunction with a scholarship. But the only reason I am against football and basketball players being paid
is because there are 700 other student athletes receiving some form of a scholarship that is benefiting them and their families. It's all part of the model. And that part of the model, to me, is functional and it works. We just talked about Bo Nickel. Hey, winning the Hodge Trophy. His sport cannot afford to pay him at all. The only thing that his family has to bank on is whatever scholarship money he gets. I don't know if Bo gets a full, a half, whatever. I don't know. Because they only have 9.9. But the reason he gets it is because there's excess money that can be funneled toward wrestling, from football in particular, and some from men's basketball. That's why I support the current model the way it is. Now, do I want to see revisions in it? Yes. But Kenny Goins having to pay off a $17,000 loan from his walk-on year, that tells you the value of a scholarship. That's the value of the scholarship right there. And that's, for Zion Williamson's family, hey, look, if you can go straight to the NBA, they would have gone straight to the NBA. And that's fine. He's got the talent to do it. He can absolutely do it. But there are a lot of people. I'll tell you, one student athlete, and it was a fencer. Hey, I was interviewing the fencing team for a TV segment I was doing. And she looks over at me and she says, oh, God, you know what? I was like, football before I came here, but now I love football. I go to every game. I love it. You know why I love it? Because of them, I have a scholarship. Now, there's an athlete who flat out gets it. Our sport is able to exist, she said, because of the money from football. And that's what I'm looking at when I look at the model. Imperfect. That's why I've talked about the idea of trust funds and the ability to use your likeness. Go to an autograph show, sign autographs, make some money off of doing that. Sign autographs at the car dealership, at the restaurant, at the whatever it may be. Maybe do an endorsement where your picture is used. Say it's a restaurant, you know, Sean Carey's Cafe. So, you know, now someone, Sean Carey's Cafe, he really feels it would be great to have Boom X, the starting quarterback, endorse his restaurant. You know, make a statement about how awesome and incredible it is. I mean, I've never had better French fries than at Sean Carey's. Or why does Sean Carey's French fries taste so much like McDonald's? But, you know, and use that likeness and that, or use it in a TV commercial, or use it in a radio commercial, then put it in a trust fund and allow them to make money doing that. In the end, I think you would see an initial rush. But in the end, remember, any business, whatever it may be, has to feel like there is a return on their investment. And if they go along and they latch on to the star sophomore running back and they see that sales are flat using the star running back, they may drop it and say, we're fine without him. I think there'll be an initial rush because it's a whole new market that would open up, especially for local entities. But if they're getting a return and they like it, they'll keep doing it because it's a business, and that's a smart way to do business. But if they're looking at it and don't feel like they're getting enough of a return, then they may drop it. I think you'll see the market there also settle down. There are only maybe, even on this campus, as great as sports happen to be on this campus, I've estimated that there are fewer than a dozen athletes on this campus out of the 800 that have scholarships here, maybe a dozen or less, that would have enough marketability to help out a business. or at least have the that a business would potentially look at. And when I say a dozen, I'm topping out at what I think is a very high number. I obviously feel it's fewer than that. And that's on this campus. Who's marketable on Alabama's campus? Jerry Judy, Tua Tagovailoa. No basketball players, maybe a gymnast. Who else on the Alabama football team? I know he's going to the draft, but like a Quinnen Williams, I don't know. Maybe before that, make a Fitzpatrick, something, I mean, whatever, somebody like that. But that's not a long list. And there are no basketball players. Colin Sexton was there 1 year, so he may have been one. And gymnastics is big at the University of Alabama, so maybe a gymnast. Because I think that market would settle down too. I think if the NCAA is smart about this and doesn't panic, all right, I think I just use the critical word, because I think some decisions they make are out of panic sometimes. Look at the big picture. Put some thought into it. Settle down. Don't overthink it. Don't be the one in the room that raised your hand and said that student-athlete commercial was great. Don't be that person. Student-athlete commercial is great. I'm glad we're airing it. Then you see it once and go, oh, who said yes to that? Don't be, just take into account their stipends, their Pell Grants. Pell Grants are never talked about. Stipends, Pell Grants, and open the door to having their likeness being used. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you're worth something as an individual. If you've built up a name for yourself that can be marketable, then that's fine. There are people ask Sean to do stuff all the time because Sean's built his name up. Well, the same thing with an athlete. They've done X amount of things to get name recognition, image recognition, even in college. That would be marketable. But the number of athletes who could take advantage of it, oh boy, this is open. This is going to be like the Wild West. At Penn State, it's fewer than a dozen. Maybe a basketball player. Maybe a hockey player. One, you know, now that Bo and Jason Nolf are done, I mean, how many wrestlers? One, maybe? Two? Football? You know, that football, I think that's a wait and see thing. I would say a couple would be. I'm not even up to 10 yet. Maybe a volleyball player? I'm not even up to 10 yet. Not even close to 10 that are realistically somebody that you would. Now, you could obviously do something, hey, let's do a big autograph show and let's invite the entire offensive line. Okay, fine, but you're not talking about major money when you're doing that. I'm talking about people that could make some legit coin off image. It's not as extensive as people think, and I think initially there might be some money poured into it, but I think at some point it will settle down. And that's if you don't panic. And that's a big part. You can't panic about these things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with using the likeness. And again, do you run the risk of having awesome and incredible restaurant paying, just pick a number, $100,000 for the use of said athlete, whatever, and it turned out that another school would have been offering another, at another school they could only get maybe $50,000 for likeness. Is that stuff going to enter into it? Of course it is. But let's pretend it's not already entering into it in some ways. There's a trial April 22nd. I hope you enjoy Auburn's trip to the Final Four. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show today. No show tomorrow. Oh, stop applauding. Come on. Let it breathe a little bit. Hey, I feel like I made everybody happy. Well, we got Bryce Harper's return to Washington, where he will be warmly welcomed. All right, maybe not. I guess there, somebody told me that. Did you tell me they're playing a video tribute to him?
Yeah, someone earlier today. I don't know if it was a Nats beat reporter on, but it was on MLB Network. Someone said that there's going to be a little video tribute tonight for Bryce. When they're going to play that, how long it is, I'll have to wait and see if it's actually true. So, but hey, be nice if they, you know, do that, give them a nice welcome, and then they can after that boom all they want or do what they want after that, you know.
Somebody said, wow, so early in the season. I said, look, the hate is still fresh.
Yeah. that's kind of why I wonder when the NFL schedules come out later this month before the draft, if we will have a Steelers-Jets week one matchup, since I believe they are scheduled to play each other this season. They put that in the 425 window before, let's say, Patriots-Chiefs rematch, Sunday night primetime. A nice little doubleheader there. But we'll see later this month if that happens.
You got Lev Bell out there going for 200-plus.
Oh.
It would be painful for you.
Ooh.
Painful.
Mm.
Or maybe you could have Arizona against Oakland in the first week. Nick Bosa against Antonio Brown in the Quitters Bowl.
I was waiting for you to mention Kyle Murray there. Kyler Murray. No?
No. No, Nick Bosa against... Because remember, yeah, Bosa was injured. I mean, not hurt. He was injured.
Yeah.
But there's talk he could have come back the first week in November. He goes, nah, I'd rather quit. Get ready for the draft. That's what I do. Okay, great. Yeah, just kind of like the guy, the kind of guy I want to draft. Yeah, he's awesome talent. Did you see the Cowboys gave Randy Gregory an extension?
Oof.
Oh.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.